Hey, what's every oh fuck. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Yarn Commentary. My name is Nick Harkop, and these are my friends, and our band's name is McCafferty. All the way across the United States and the little town of Medina, Ohio, Wes Easterly. What's up, Wes?
Hey, what's going on?
Next to him, I think. We're on Skype. I can't see anybody. I'm in my bedroom under the blankets, scared and all alone. Evan Graham.
What's up?
How you doing, man?
Doing all right.
We are here today to talk about our latest album, Yarn, that was released on Triple Crown Records and recorded and produced by Mike Sapone and Brett Robb. Is that how you pronounce Brett's last name?
I think so.
We recorded it in New Jersey at Barbershop Studios. Half at Barbershop Studios and half at Mike Sapone's house, right? That's how we did it. It was like 15 days.
We were at Mike Sapone's house for like 3 days or something, the last 3 days.
Oh, was it only 3 days at Mike's?
I think so. It was only a couple days and we finished early. We finished like a day early
Oh, okay.
and headed home early.
We are going to talk about a little bit about background of the album, and then we're going to kind of go through each song. But I just want to say it's nice to talk to you guys. This is the first time we've all three talked. Oh, wait, Chris, what's up?
10110110110.
Good to see you, man. Fuck. It's good to talk to you guys. It's been a while. Some shit went down with the band. We're taking, the band's not professional, or the band's not functioning on a professional full-time basis anymore. I have moved to North Carolina, where I live with my wife, Emily, and I'm glad to be back with you guys because I love talking about music. I love doing McCaffrey. It's so much fun. And I really have been waiting to talk about this album because it was such a fun time to make, dude. It was such a blast.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah, it's good to talk to you too. It's definitely been a little while before or since we've actually done anything.
It has. So I guess we'll kind of start about it. The idea for Yarn. So our first album, Beach Boy, was recorded by ourselves, and it wasn't even like done like an album was done. Didn't we just like I don't really remember. We just like came up some weekends when Evan and I were starting college, and we would record with you, Wes. I'm pretty sure you were like in high school still at that point.
I remember you guys coming over and we would do basically like one song a day, basically whenever you guys were able to come over. And
Right.
it was like winter.
No, dude, Evan, remember when we used to have to take the bus to the car and it was so fucking cold at Kent?
Yeah, because you weren't allowed cars freshman year. You had to park it at the stadium. It's an adventure.
No, dude. It took like 45 minutes to get to the stadium, and then it was like an hour and a half drive and like the snow to Wes's.
Good times.
So that came out in 2014. Then the band wasn't doing anything because I had gone to school to get my teaching license. And Evan, you graduated too. I think Evan, did you go for communications? And we just weren't doing music. And then an opportunity came up to do music through Fred and through we actually had Thanks, Sorry, Sure, and then after that kind of caught on, we had an opportunity to do a full record, it's how Yarn was born. I remember I had like my idea for Yarn was that I wanted it to be super dark. I wanted it to be super different than it was from Beach Boy because I was at a different point in my life. I was going through a lot of things that were not happy, and I wanted to make an album that reflected that. It was during this period when I was really obsessed with Nirvana too,
Yeah.
and I wanted the songs to be hard like that. And I Yard is really influenced for me by bands like The Killers, Blink-182, and Nirvana, which is a weird mix, but that's why it's a weird CD. But that's why I love the CD, because if I wanted to just make some flimsy, like, generic, twinkly emo CD, we could have. It's not hard to make a CD like that. But Yarn was a great challenge for us, because we all have such different musical backgrounds that, like, Evan has this big rock and roll sound that really comes through on Yarn. And Wes, you hit so hard like Dave Grohl, and like I have this weird mix of like always wanting to be Tom DeLonge when I was younger. So like that mixed with like all the anger I was feeling at the time, because I usually use McCafferty to help write out stuff, his for that Kurt Cobain channeling. So like I really like the CD for that reason. And I think that it does have elements of Beach Boy through some of that acoustic stuff, but it wasn't designed to be a fun CD, like a feel good CD. Like Beach Boy was kind of like a feel good CD. Yarn wasn't really designed to be like that. I think that like being able to work with Mike Sapone on the album, that having the opportunity to work with somebody who's recorded all, you know, Brand New and Taking Back Sunday, Sorority Noise and bands like that, that he really was able to capture that darkness that I wanted from the album. Because I remember when we like to get, because I remember our old manager saying like, oh, well, Mike Sapone's not going to do your album. He's not going to want to do it. And I wrote an email to him. I wrote like an email to Mike Sapone, and I like wrote the meaning behind the songs and like what the album really meant to me and how I thought he would be a great, great producer for the album. And I really know you wanted him too, Wes, because you love poor M, his work. And yeah, like, it was awesome. He got back to me, and then he immediately, we sent it, because we recorded Yarn by ourselves. Like, we have like, do we still have like all those demo tracks of Yarn? Like, we did them all.
Yeah. Yeah. We demoed all of the songs here in the barn.
Yeah, and so the Beach Boy was recorded, and then yeah, we went to Mike.
Yeah, and we like showed them to Mike, which was, it was good that we had those.
Cool. Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about, because I'm going to end, I'll go into what all the songs mean, and we'll go through the track listing, but I really want to talk about like the process. Like, so we drive to New Jersey, we stay at Barbershop Studios, we stay there for I forget how many days, but we're like in this like apartment. Oh, and I love the owner of Barbershop Studios, Ryan. I love you.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, he's such a good fucking guy. I was just texting him, Ryan, we gotta hang out. We go there, we stay in like this little like, I don't even know, it was like this little apartment thing, but like, we just were like sleeping on the ground. It was trash, dude. We trashed that place. Do you remember that, dude? Remember when? Dude.
It was like an apartment with like a slanted floor and ceiling.
It was really weird, yeah.
I will say that Yarn was, so it was new for me, because like, the difference between Beach Boy and Yarn was that because of the hardships I was going through, I used smoking a lot as a coping mechanism in my life. So I wrote all of Yarn, recorded Yarn high as shit, like super hot. Like, so the whole experience of us doing Yarn is just like Mike Sapone, like super, like awesome, just like stone cold drinking like coffee, and then us like smoking like 1,000 bowls and downing like tons of beer and doing. So it was really fun because a lot of the energy came from, because that apartment, dude, was trashed. I just remember, and I remember like you guys went out to the bar that one night and you like came back and I was sleeping because I was drinking a lot. And you guys were like hammered. And I think Chris jumped on top of me. Do you remember? Do we have that video of that, of Chris just screaming like in my face while I'm sleeping?
I'm pretty sure we do. We should.
Dude. There, on my laptop in Ohio, I have that documentary. I have a bunch of clips from when we were recording, like how we made like the intro. We recorded a lot of the recording or the process, but like 95% of it was like us just sitting around like playing video games, because like how it worked, if we talk about like we stayed there, we go to the studio, like this super nice studio, way nicer than I think I've ever would think that we would be recording in.
Yeah, for sure.
And the process of recording was like you do each part with Mike and then the other people kind of just chill out. So like Wes, you started, right? And you did drums first?
Yeah, I think we spent the first 3 days doing drums.
Okay.
And then can't remember who went next.
Yeah, Chris. Was it you?
Oh, okay.
Chris went next.
Chris, tell us a little bit about what it was like.
Yeah, how was that, Chris?
It was fucking miserable.
Wow. Wow. All right. Well, thank you. So after Chris, I think it was Evan?
No, it was you.
It was me? Did I put down like the bass tracks?
Yeah.
Or not the instrument bass, just like the rhythm guitar?
Yeah, it was the rhythm.
I did the rhythm, and then I had some sections, and I remember, like, because I'm horrible with timing and, like, playing to a click track. I've gotten a lot better, because Wes has known me since I first started doing music. Evan pretty much, too, but remember how hard it was for me to play to a click track, Wes?
Yeah. Yeah, you've definitely got better at doing that.
It was so hard for me. And then, but, like, I remember sometimes I would spend, like, an hour, I think it was on Windmill specifically, that at the beginning, Mike was like, we're going to have Evan do it. And I think was it that song, Evan, that you had to come in and like basically do my part for me because I couldn't line it up?
Yeah, it was. It was the arpeggiated part, is the which is hard to play to a click track. It's easy to do when you're playing live, but when you're trying to be meticulous about it in the studio, it's hard.
Yeah.
That was the great thing about Mike, was like everything was so professional, and Brett too. It just was so, everything had to be so like perfect because Mike had to have it a certain way, which was amazing. He's such a amazing person. But then after I went, Evan, you went and you did all your parts. Tell us kind of what it was like working with Mike and all that for the lead electric.
I don't know.
Focus slap. You can hear this shit. It sounds like popcorn popping.
Recording in the studio is like probably my favorite thing to do ever. So recording in that environment with all those resources and like, it's like a kid in a candy store or like an amusement park. It was really fun to like have like two people there who are really professional and good at what they do, like working for you for like 2 days. You're just like, oh, I get to play guitar. I don't know.
And that's like
super fun.
Yeah.
The 2 days is like two full days of you, like just you, Evan, with them while we, because there was, that was when Call of Duty World War II came out. It was basically you recording, Chris and Wes staring at a miniature TV that Wes had brought over, even though there was a super nice TV set up. Wes said that there was lag input on it for Call of Duty.
Yeah, I feel bad. I mean, I'm sure like all bands can relate to this, but like, when they're in the studio, like once the drums and bass are done, the drummer and bassist, like Wes and Chris were done for like 12 days. They did nothing but play Call of Duty. And Chris's bass parts took, I think, one afternoon. He did the whole album's bass. He did it in like 6 hours. And like,
yeah,
that's like, that was it. He just played Call of Duty the rest of the time.
Yeah.
It was just hilarious.
It was fun to hang out though after like I was done. I liked hanging out and getting to observe everything.
Gosh, it was so beautiful, dude. It the studio was so pretty. Like I remember going there and taking a video to show my dad, and like they have like, because that's where the Breaking Benjamin's Diary of Jane was recorded, they have like the disc or whatever.
Yeah.
I said to dad, my dad was like, that's sick.
Yeah, that was just recording Yarn was definitely one of the best experiences I think I've had. It was just really cool.
Yeah, and it was so fun because like we just were hanging out all the time, and like it just was constant goofing, like being goofy, like because it was like that you just could do. We just did whatever we want. We were always going to get like, where was that fuck? What was that fucking gas station we were always eating at?
Quick Check. Oh God, dude.
Was that Quick Check, the one with the food where you can order a wrap?
Yeah.
Quick Check.
No, dude. And then Quick Trick had the, they had like that turkey bowl with the mashed potatoes. It was so good. but like that was, it was just so fun to be at barbershop. And it was on this lake. So like when we would smoke, we would go like outside on this really like awesome like patio, and there's just an entire lake. And it was so, it was just such an amazing, amazing thing. I sometimes just think about it still. I'm like, wow, that was so fun.
Yeah, me too. Actually, Heart Attack Man's there right now with Brett.
I think they just got done.
Or maybe they just got done. But yeah, they were just there.
Do they have a new album?
They just recorded it.
Yeah.
It's done. Well, I mean, the recording's done.
Yeah.
The mixing's not.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. But kind of, I mean, is there anything you guys want to add about just the studio or the process before we kind of talk about the songs? Because we did the guitar, then after that we did vocals, and then that took a long time, and then we did like group vocals, and then we did like extras where like Evan did a lot of the extras, because like with amps and with keys, especially on Toe Wigmo, you did a lot, Evan. I was literally sitting in a separate room playing Doom on my Nintendo Switch, and I could hear Evan doing the keys, and I was like, that sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, I tried my best to prepare for every, we were super prepared to record the album, and like everything was worked out beforehand, but it was nice to get like, especially with a couple of the songs, there was a lot of like spur of the moment tracking. So there's actually a lot of improv on the record too. Mike was super into recording things spur of the moment, like all the sounds and stuff.
That's like his, that's like Mike's specialty. Is that's why I love the album so much, because you have to listen to the album, I think, with headphones, because you gotta, like, if you can hear all the little stuff that Mike does in the songs, it's so dope, dude. Like I love all the a lot of the feedback stuff you guys did too with Mike. I remember just hearing like amps making really weird noises and you guys just recording it.
Yeah, he's like a mad scientist.
Yeah, and he also mixed the record, and I guess a fun fact about the record is that the two acoustic songs, the vocals and the majority of the acoustic guitar, were actually recorded here in the barn. And then it was kind of cool because...
Toe Wigmo was live. I played that song live when we recorded it.
Yeah, like those were actually technically the demos. And then, you know, we decided to use those as the actual songs. And it was kind of cool because they stand out on the record as like pretty lo-fi, and like Mike didn't really do any, he didn't really do much processing to them, which is kind of cool. He kept them like super dry.
Yeah, I remember Mike was so respectful about that stuff, like really making sure that it was the sound we wanted for the song. Like I remember when before we met him, like he would ask like what we wanted to channel, like what type of bands for the CD. And of course I said like Nirvana and Blink-182, Taking Back Sunday, stuff like that. But he really kept it respectful to something like Beach Boy, where it was so lo-fi that he knew for like songs that were lo-fi that's the way that they should be done. And I thought that was so cool of him.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, overall sonically, it is a pretty hi-fi sounding record, I would say.
Dude, the drums sound so good.
Yeah, the drums have a really natural sound to them. There's no like drum samples or anything, and just like a lot of room sound, and it's really cool. There was like 18 mics on the drum kit,
dude. It's insane. I have that video of you shredding on drums still. I don't know, I'll have to try to find it. Do you guys have anything else to add though?
I mean, yeah, that was the gist of it. It was just a lot of fun, definitely a lot of good memories. I guess, do you want to move on to talking about the songs a little bit?
Yeah, we'll break down the track list now. So on the cover of Yarn is my wife, Emily. She sent me that picture on like the world's shittiest cell phone. She just like took it of herself, like I think in the bathroom. And I was like, oh, that's sick. I'm going to use that for the album cover, because like I really liked the way it looked, because I wanted that super dark feel. I saw someone, or she saw someone online that thinks that's me on the cover. So it's like, what the fuck? But I just love that cover so much. I think it's so cool. It's so different. But the first track on the album, so the one that we decided to go with as the opener for the album for Yarn is Loser, we decided to make this the first song. It was a single that had come out beforehand, and it had a little video that was made by our friend Evan, who they are a fantastic artist, and we really, really loved working with them, and I really hope that they're doing well. And I wrote that song because that there was a point in time when I lived in Ohio that Evan moved in with me, and how long did we live together, Evan? For like 2 months?
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it was like the spring. Yeah, it was probably like 3 months.
And in that time, Evan had this. You had like this amplifier for your electric guitar that you like plugged in, but it was like a pair of headphones. You could like put distortion on your guitar, and it was really cool. And I didn't have an electric guitar amp, but I wanted this album to have a lot of electric guitar because I wanted it to be big and heavy and dark, unlike Beach Boy, because I like to make art very differently. So I think that it's cool when artists have albums that are all different from each other.
Yeah.
So Loser, I remember messing around with my guitar and I found that riff, on Loser. And I plugged it into that amplifier and I remember playing it and I was like, wow, this is so cool. I think I was sitting on your bed, Evan, like in your room when you lived with me and when I did it. And that song was when I was teaching. I wrote that song when I was teaching sixth grade. So that song is about observing and seeing how kids function in middle school and in school in general. That's why it says I saw the loser trip and fall, because when I was just a teacher, I would see kids that would, you know, get bullied or fall down in the hallway and stuff like that. And you, as an adult, you know, you do, you help out in the best way possible with your students. But it just really made me think to my time back in middle school. And that whole song is just about the struggle of, I guess, being a kid.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that for sure.
And when it says, I had that line, I think, where it says, I finally found my place. So good God, stand and take my place. And that was about me kind of saying, hey, I think that the way my life is going is that I'm not going to do music and teaching forever. So it was kind of about like, me saying that I kind of am figuring out where I belong, so somebody else come and take my spot. And I know the way it fucking goes, because that's just the way the world works. Whenever somebody else falls off, somebody fills in that spot.
Yeah.
I guess for recording it, it was so fun. I guess I want to go around and ask you guys what you like about the song. What do you like about Loser specifically, Wes?
I just like that it has a lot of energy and it's like just a pretty rockin' song. And I like that it's under 2 minutes long. It's just like short and sweet, and it's just fun. It's just a fun song. I really liked playing it live.
Yeah, it was fun. Evan, what about you?
I think the instrumentals provide a nice backdrop for the message. It's kind of like there's a lot of parts in it that match the intensity and the match the intensity of the meaning behind the words, and also like the vocal melody at the end is kind of like a little bit childish in a way, and you know,
and that's you that does the la la la's on there.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember how that came about.
I think we just thought of it in the barn, I think. I remember you doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of like spur of the moment. And then,
did
like,
you actually re-record those in the studio, or did we use the ones that we recorded here?
Yeah, we flew over the tracks we from your Pro Tools.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Like, wow, a lot of stuff. Yeah.
I really love your guitar riff on that song, Evan, where it's like, wow, 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 wow. I think that's so cool. Because it's just like such a, like you said, it's just such a sharp noise that it's like, it's just like a song that playing live specifically has so much energy. And this is also like a song that when we released it, some people online were like, what's up with the lyrics? What the fuck is this?
The lyrical content on this album, and particularly, is a different style than Beach Boy was a little bit more narrative, and this one's a little bit more stream of consciousness.
Yeah, definitely it is. Yeah. And that's why I loved it, because it's not narrative. It's more of little stories that I kind of only know what I'm talking about, and you guys kind of know. And I wanted people to kind of be able to take their own meanings for it. But then a lot of people didn't like that because it was so different. But a lot of people did. I mean, there are a lot of people that like this CD. And I think that, in my opinion, it's a much better CD than Beach Boy for a lot of different reasons. They're very different CDs. But that was something I was very proud of, was the lyrical content on this CD, because it was so different. And we'll kind of get into that more. Looking at the next song, Paper Pencil Copyright, this is the song we did the music video for. We drove to, where did we drive to for the music video? Brooklyn.
Yeah,
I forget the name of the
bar. I don't can't remember the bar, but it was like a small dive bar with graffiti everywhere.
Yeah, really, dude. Cool. And there was like a, yeah, it was such a fun experience. That was really fun, and we had some people show up, and it was just like a really good time. It was really, it was a fun afternoon. And it took all day, actually. And
had to play the song like 30 times.
I know. Dude, whenever, like, if I was listening to the CD earlier before we did this to just, review some stuff, and I can't listen to that song because we had to do it so many fucking times.
Yeah.
Between that and recording it. I mean, I love this song. And this song is a big one. It's about me. I mean, I think this one's pretty self-explanatory. It's about my experience teaching. And I saw so many good things as a teacher. I saw so many people who cared about kids. And I saw so many people who really it was their mission to give children the best education possible, as it should be with a teacher. But I also saw a lot of bad shit when I was a teacher. A lot of teachers who didn't care. And a lot of teachers who especially didn't understand at-risk students. And that really stuck with me. And I had a lot of anger about it. So that's why I wrote that song. Now looking back, I would never have the energy or direction to write that song, because I just, those things aren't that relevant to me right now because I'm not teaching.
Yeah.
But I think that in a lot of ways, like, this is like the opening song to the album, because Loser kind of just catches you and it's just like crazy. And then this is the one that kind of lets you sink your teeth in with the feel. I love Evan's opening to this song. I love how pretty it is. That's another thing I love about this song, is I think it has like, I love Evan's riff at the beginning. And then when I come in and I hit the intro notes that I play, I think it's a very nostalgic sounding note. And I love that. I think that it helps you feel like you're in school, and it helps you feel like you're able to relate to remembering the things that I'm talking about. I don't know. But I mean, what do you guys like about it? Well, Wes, what do you like?
I like how the end of the song is a lot different than the first portion of the song. Like, the end things kind of change. And I always thought that was really cool, how the end gets really intense.
Mm-hmm.
Mine kind of coincides with what Wes was saying, because I like that it has like a lot of different stanzas. It has a lot of, it like marries together a lot of different feels, and it has it doesn't have like it has an atypical song structure. It kind of keeps you guessing. And does it have a tempo change? It has a time change in it.
It gets a little bit faster at the end.
Yeah, so there's like three parts in the beginning and two at the end. It's kind of like, you don't hear it a lot in like Western music, you know?
Yeah, pop music, right.
It still has like the melodies of pop music, but it in an abnormal way.
Yeah, there's definitely some pop elements in a few of the songs.
For sure.
Which is good.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And what, it's probably, I think it's one of the three songs in a major key on the record, so it kind of...
Right, there's like, it's like Paper Pencil and Yarn and Mary Z. Mm-hmm. They're kind of like the brighter toned songs.
Chris, what do you think about Paper Pencil? What was your favorite part of the music video?
I fucking hate this song and the music video sucks.
Oh, that's something. Looking at our next song, Yarn. This is the title track. And this song, this is the first song that I think I remember writing really high, because I couldn't play music high, and Chris came over, of course, and we were just hanging out, and then he was like, let's play some guitar. He like brought his guitar over, and then when I started to play, and I never played music high like stone before, the first thing I played sitting down was the Yarn riff, and I thought it was so funny, and like I remember we were just laughing about it because it was like such a stupid riff, but I really liked the way it sounded because it was like real goofy but really cool. And then this song had a lot of Killers influence on it, like the way that those notes sound, especially on electric guitar, my chords, the palm muting, even Wes, the way you play your drums is so cool on it. It sounds like something off Sam's Town, and I thought that was so dope. Cool. And that song has some cool influence too. Like I really like the whoa-ohs in that song, because they kind of have like a Weezer-esque vibe to it, I thought. And I thought that was so cool. And I guess that, what do you guys like about the song?
I don't know. I really like everything about it. I like the chorus. It's one of like the, I guess one of the, you know, like I was saying, brighter songs on the record. And I like how it contrasts with, a lot of the other songs on the record, and it's the title track.
Yeah.
Just kind of cool.
I think I like it for the opposite reason as to why I liked Paper Pencil, is because, it has a, traditional song structure to it, and I mean that in the best way possible. It's kind of like one of the more safer songs on the record,
so for sure,
with it being at the beginning, especially number three, it's kind of gives the listener what they want to hear early on, and then so it kind of makes way for the deeper content.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
you're so smart, Evan, you're like a professor of music.
Holy shit.
The song is about my relationship with McCafferty, because McCafferty is such a prominent thing in my life. The line, I was the yarn just longing to be worn, was I felt like for a long time that we all had, because not just me, everybody that I played with, or that I play with you guys, that we all had so much talent that I felt like I didn't want it to go unrecognized. I didn't want it to go without being heard. So I wanted to be somebody who was known for making music, because it was important to me at the time. And I had that line too that says, will we make it? I don't know. And that was about doing the band. It was about the stress of changing a lifestyle to do music, and I didn't know if I could do it. But now we know.
Yeah.
Chris, thoughts on Yarn?
This album is one of the worst albums of all time, and I wish we never made it.